Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1234 in Edmonton. Roos Chris Steakhouse, the greatest steak you've ever had. Edmonton owned and operated. Open from Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie, Taylor, the staff at Roos Chris at Oilers Now sent you. Just before we go to Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta presenting the 91st running the Canadian Derby. That's Sunday, September 27th at Century Mile. You can bet online at HBIBet.com. We will tell you, we're going to go into today's top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling. That's Legacy Heating and Cooling, home of no payments and no interest for 1 year, and no host capable of reading that liner. Let's try that again. Legacy Heating and Cooling. Mark Spector joins us right now. Spec, how you doing?
Oh, pretty fair, Bobby. Just got through watching Dallas win a series that, I don't know, I'm going to tell you, when it started, I didn't think they'd win, but the longer it went, the more it looked like they were going to win it.
Yeah, and that's our top story, and I brought it up a little bit before, Mark. Back in April, talking to some people, in April, I thought we were going to have a top 10 make the playoffs, not a top 12. They do it divisionally. That would mean Edmonton would end up with Vancouver. Dallas would have gotten Colorado. And instead, they went top 12. And Edmonton's last game that they lost to Winnipeg was the difference in the points percentage between Edmonton and Dallas grabbing that four hole. And, Mark, it shows you, to me, what this has shown this year more than ever, just how tricky things are. I mean, Dallas didn't look very good in round robin. They didn't look very good early against Calgary. And they looked damn good by the end of that series against Vegas. So they kept on getting better, older veteran teams. But it shows you there's a lot that goes into these situations, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's such a goofy year, you know. If you look at the Oilers up until March 11th, you're happy with them, relatively speaking. And then the 4 months off, and, you know, Evan, it comes back, they don't have what they don't have it. St. Louis comes back, they don't have it, right?
Yep.
Vancouver comes back, they're a better team than they were. Dallas comes back, they're a better team.
Well, now Dallas is, but were they a better team in round robin? They looked like St. Louis to me in the round robin. Like, they really weren't going.
Right, so. And then, you know what, then they get Colorado, and well, I guess, you know, they get lucky because it didn't surprise me to see Colorado score four goals a game in that Dallas-Colorado series. But frankly, if Colorado has goaltending, I'd be surprised if Dallas got to four goals a game the way they did every night. So, you know, there's breaks and stuff going on, and it's such a different year that I would suggest to people out there, it's not a year to overreact on your team's playoff performance, either positive or negative.
Yeah,
I think that this is just a year that we watch it happen. I mean, Washington is a pretty good team that wasn't very good after the bubble or in the bubble. So, you know what? I guess let's just let it play out here. We got a Tampa Dallas Cup, which I did predict on Sportsnet about 6 months ago, amazingly. But who's going to win? Who knows?
Well, so you're already, the early returns have come in, and despite the fact that there's still 40% of the polls remaining, you've declared Tampa Bay the winner of that series against the Islanders, Beck?
Oh, yeah, I guess I will say that. They're up 3-1. They're, to me, a better team.
They're better. They're better.
They're not gonna cough up three straight to the others, or if they do, I guess I'd like to see it.
See, all right. Well, a couple things with Dallas, and then we'll get to the potential of Dallas and Tampa. Mark Spector joining us for the horses in horse racing Alberta. Again, they've got the 91st running of the Canadian Derby Sunday, September 27th at Century Mile. Fan access is limited. You can watch and wager online at HBIBet.com. What a story Rick Moness is this year. I mean, just think about that alone. What a storyline that is, Spec.
Yeah, for a guy to come in, I mean, we'll talk about the perfect interim coach, you know. He's so experienced. He's been a head coach. He's been an assistant for so many years. He just has a great feel, as veteran hockey guys do. It turns out that Dallas had all the tools they needed. They just had to figure out how to deploy them, right, and figure out you know, who needed to do what. And even the game like last night, a real subtle little swap. He swapped Klingberg and Heiskanen onto opposite power play units.
Yep.
When the power play was brutal, and it's just a tiny little thing, and boom, the second power play unit scores two goals and they win a game. So, you know, he's just a veteran guy with a good feel, and he's a feel-good story because everyone likes him because he's a great guy. And who more would you like to see, you know, outside your organization, Bob, have put a ring on his finger but Rick Bowness? Pretty much everyone would agree with that.
Well, and then we get to the goaltending. I mean, you and me have talked about this years for years on Ben Bishop. The Oilers were in on Ben Bishop from Ottawa back in, what year was it? The lockout year in 2013, and Steve Tamalini didn't want to give up an extra second-round pick. Ben Bishop, save percentage-wise, has been a top-10 goalie in the league for the last 5 years. He can't stay healthy, except the Dallas Stars. And one of Jim Neal's things, Mark, as you know, was you got to have two goalies to play in the Western Conference. And Anton Khudobin, he's pretty damn good, and he was good again. And you know, I mean, I thought Vegas had the advantage in goal, Mark. They didn't. Khudobin was better.
I guess. You know, that is amazing, right? I mean, nobody had two stronger net miners than Leonard and Fleury, right? We just, that position, positionally, Vegas got the check mark in that box in every series. And, you know, the thing about Khudobin for me, Bob, is, I mean, he is a backup. He's been Ben Bishop's backup. And almost every backup you ever watch, they give you, you know, your starter goes down and they give you, what do they give you, Bob? They give you a good week, and then maybe they start into the second week, and they're pretty good. And by the time the second week's over, you go, oh, yeah, that's why that guy's a number two. You know, we've seen it a million times. And Anton Khudobin has not failed, right? I think he's played 18 games, but Bishop's only started twice and didn't finish the first period in one of them. And Khudobin has not faded away. He has not made us say, oh, yeah, that's why you're a backup. He looks like a number one. And he's given them absolutely everything they could ask from Ben Bishop or Leonard or Fleury. He's outplayed them all, and give him credit. He's always been around forever. He's 34, and he's another real good guy. And I'm kind of cheering for the little Russian guy.
The Stars are an interesting team. I mean, a couple of years ago, Jim Lights lit up basically Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Jamie Benn this year, Mark, had 39 points in 69 games. He's making $9.5 million.
Yep.
Tyler Seguin, 50 points in 69 games. They're both minus players 5-on-5 during the course of the regular season. Now, I haven't broken down their advanced analytics to see if they're truly minus players 5v5. But they didn't produce offensively. Seguin clearly is playing with an injury. But Ben elevated, and when he's on it and he's bringing it, he's a hell of a force out there.
Yeah, he is a power forward, a Canadian power forward. He looks like there's flashes of Jerome McGinley there for me. You know, I'm not saying he's that level of player, but he's certainly in this playoff run. He's carrying this team. He's not that huge a guy. He plays a very heavy guy game. And, you know, it gives Tyler Seguin credit. I think he's got a real bad hand to sand. And
yep.
I mean, he makes a lot of money. $9.85 million, Bob. You need more than two goals in the playoffs. But he's on the first PK unit, and he's doing everything he's capable of doing to help this team win, and they're winning. So when you win, they don't care how much they pay you, right?
Yeah. Ben, 30. Radulov, if ever there was a guy that looked like a Russian veteran in the league, it's Alexander Radulov. Like, he just looks like a, you know what, it just reinforces that image. But 33 for Radulov. They've got Pavelski at 35 spec. Corey Perry's 34. Como's 33. Andrew Cogliano is 32. Those guys are all forwards in their 30s up front, man. That's like seven forwards that are, this is like watching the 66 highlights of the 66-67 Maple Leafs when they had all those old guys. You know, that was the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs made it to a Stanley Cup final for all our Leafs fans out there. Anyhow, I digress. It's kind of remarkable because they say you need youth in the game, but they do have some youth in the back end and that sort of thing. But they're a really interesting team to watch.
Well, they've got, you know, they do have the youth up front that's been getting us some goals here. Like Rupe Hintz, a good player. Gary Anov is an absolute stud. I think he is everything that Nikushkin was supposed to be and more, Bob. And the Kiviranta kid scores a hat trick in a game 7 and a huge goal last night, you know, to help him clinch a series. So They do have some young guys. Obviously, their back end, Klingberg and Heiskanen, is, you know, they're two really good defensemen. I love the way Andre Sekera has resurrected his career. You know, who thought that a guy with back-to-back torn ACL and the torn Achilles or ruptured Achilles at his age could play at the level he's playing at? Good for him. So, you know, and then an old vet like Khudobin in net. They're a good story, this team, Bob, and they'll give Tampa everything they can handle.
Now, I'm reading a report here because there was a tweet last night from Alan Walsh, the agent, complimenting Rick Bowness and being a great coach and a terrific person. Today is the deadline for Marc-Andre Fleury and Alan Walsh to submit their revised no-trade list to the Golden Knights ahead of this offseason. For Vegas, you know, their owner's, I think he's 74, 75 years of age. They quickly ascended into win-now mode, Mark. They've got high standards in their organization. This has to be a bitter pill for them to swallow.
Yeah, for sure it is. You know, this is, they are the team that is not happy with just getting to the Western Conference Final. They're ready to win a Cup, Vegas. And, you know, they'll have a pretty stout debrief, Bobby. Like, you know, what went wrong here, right? They had the puck a lot. You look at all the stats. They had the shots. They didn't have as many scoring chances as they should have with all that possession, and you wonder why, right? Defensively, they were good. They didn't give up much to Dallas, but you know what? As someone told me about 4 days ago, and then Pete DeBoer said last night, Dallas owned the net front in both ends of the rink. And that really is where a bunch of one-goal games,
sure,
that's where a series is decided. Net front in your end and net front in their end. And I would say that the Oilers lost those battles against Chicago to a great deal. And that's something that's got to get corrected, because you win the net fronts and you tend to win the game.
Well, I think the Hawks scored 6 or 7 deflection goals or from shots on the points.
Right.
Vegas only had 12 goals, Mark, in their last 8 games. On Pete DeBoer, I mean, let's just go through. Okay, so I don't think Gerard Gallant's the best technical coach. I think there were some things sliding in Vegas' game, but he is a guy that gets people to play for him. Pete DeBoer has taken teams to the Stanley Cup Final. You know, some people that I know in the coaching fraternity would say he's an upgrade on Gerard Gallant. But they go out and they get Lehner. But Marc-Andre Fleury's kind of, LaFleur's kind of part of their culture in Vegas. Did they screw with the hockey gods a bit here, Mark? You know what I'm saying? Like, because they went out and they got the defenseman they needed in Martinez, a legit top four D-man to upgrade,
yep,
their D. You know, they get a really good goaltender in Lehner. And I just wonder if it, you know, the margin is so tough. But they did lose in 5. It's not like this series was, it was close, but it wasn't a 7-game series. So, you know, why couldn't they get to the level that we expected them to get to, Vegas?
It's amazing, right? Like they did, as I said, I think they did. You know, they thought they were doing everything right. I don't think you saw a significant change, you know. After game 2, Rick Bowness flipped his lines around and said, we're not scoring. And he put that Sagan, Radulov, Ben line back together. And they got some goals and won the game. And I'm not sure Pete DeBoer, you know, whether he didn't have a plan B, whether he didn't think he needed a plan B. His lines stayed relatively the same throughout the series. They didn't do a lot of things different. They just kept waiting for the breaks to come and waiting for the breaks to come. And they ran out of runway, man. You know, the series ended before the hockey gods started smiling on them. And you got to find a way to, you know, there's got to be a way to coach yourself out of that somehow, or at least take a try at it. I'm not a believer in the goalie change. Like, I get it. Fleury's a great goalie and part of that team, and he could have been just as good as Lehner and all that. But Lehner was not the problem. Lehner gave up 2 a night. You know, you give up 2 a night, you should win. So they didn't score enough, Bob. Their forwards, they just, the Riley Smiths and Marchessaults, the puck didn't go in. Paul Stastny, Alex Tuch, lots of chances, lots of puck possession, not enough goals.
Stone and Pacioretty.
Pacioretty had a million chances, couldn't score, Bob. So I guess my question becomes, at what point does the blame shift from the coach to the players?
Well, they didn't score enough. Like, when guys, when the offensive players, you and me have had this debate, when the offensive players score and they produce and you lose a series, can you pin it on the offensive players? And so in this situation, Vegas's offense, their defense was probably good enough. They didn't get the production. Now, just going, circling back to Dallas here for a second, Dallas-Calgary. 2-1 for Calgary. Flames have shut the Stars out in Game 3. 2-0 Cam Talbot. They're up 2-1 in the series. Tobias Reeder scores a shorthanded goal to put Calgary up 4-3. Joe Pavelski scores with 12 seconds left to give Dallas the tie. Tell me the truth. With a minute left and Calgary up 2-1 in the series and up 4-3 in Game 4, were you thinking Dallas was dead, DOA at that point?
Oh, sure you were, right? Sure you were. Calgary's playing good hockey, and they let that one get away. They let Dallas up off the mat. And, hey, every playoff run is sort of filled with those moments, you know? Give me any team. Like, there's always a first round, a tight, close shave that you just made it by, you know? And that was Dallas's, right? That was against Calgary. That was their close shave, and then they had another one against Colorado. Listen, we've watched enough playoffs, Bob, everyone in this city, to know that teams, I mean, it's not like when L.A. went through in, what did they play, 18 games that one year? You know, that's a rarity. It's always every series is a new chapter in the book. And Dallas hasn't dominated anybody here. You know, even beating, would they beat Vegas? It was 4-1 goal wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't dominate Vegas, but they beat them 4 out of 5 nights, and that's all it takes.
When we come back, we'll discuss whether or not Dallas can get it done against Tampa Bay. Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you.
Hi, this is Jajar Kara from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Keep hearing around the league that there's more than one or two teams that have time for Jajar Kara. Big man can play a little bit of center. Interesting. It is 12:51. Bob Stauffer, Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Again, proudly presenting the 91st running of the Canadian Derby. That's Sunday, September 27th at Century Mile. Fan access is limited, but you can watch and wager online at HBIBet.com. All right, Mark, the million-dollar question. We both expect Tampa Bay to close out the New York Islanders. No disrespect to Barry Trotz, who's a great coach. Lou Lamoriello, who's an experienced and savvy general manager, but Tampa's just better. Can Dallas beat Tampa?
You know, I probably am the dumb guy that picked that thought Dallas would have a hard time with Vegas's offense, and they figured it out. So Tampa's a step up. You know, Tampa's a step up. Now, is Stamkos playing? Is Braden Point? How's he going to play? I like to put my money, Bob, on the team that scores. I like my hockey. I like aggressive offensive teams. So, in principle, I'm picking Tampa. But I also see myself falling into the same trap a lot of guys fell in with this Dallas team. They tend to take teams like Tampa and find a way to keep them off the scoreboard.
Mark, that's just established. You've often been called a dummy, about as often as I have, and usually we've called each other a dummy after about two or three on the road. So there you have it. You know, it's funny. To me, Tampa Bay's got to be the favorite in the series, but how could you, after the run Dallas has been on, absolutely they can win. Like, I did not think they – I had Vegas in 5, Mark. I didn't even think it was going to be close. And Vegas got it. You know, I looked at Colorado losing to Dallas, and I'm like, you know what? I know it's what I could have should have, but Colorado's down on their number 3 goaltender. Eric Johnson, a defenseman that, you know, I know the analytics gods don't like him, but he's a pretty good defenseman. He's basically their number 1 all-around defenseman. So they didn't have their top 2 goalies, their number 1 defenseman, and Gabriel Landeskog in a Game 7. And they lost the game in OT. Like, they could have won that series all day. But I was really impressed against Vegas. I mean, Dallas got to a level. They were better than Vegas. And absolutely, they could beat Tampa Bay. That said, I'll still probably be taking Tampa Bay. Mark, the Edmonton Oilers management staff had some pro meetings over the course of the last week. They don't have a lot of cap space. The goaltender market is one that you don't have to give up assets, and the Oilers have already moved a couple assets and moves that came back to bite them, partially because of a flat cap. Case in point, the Athanasiu trade. I mean, it's going to be problematic to qualify him at $3 million. But I digress. The goaltending market, there's lots of goalies. The Oilers don't have a lot of money, but the money they spend, What's the one position that maybe might be able to be most beneficial to improving the team next year? Goal. Who would you target and why?
Well, I saw today that Brian McCollum, the GM of Washington, said that Holtby is probably going to go the free agent route. So that is interesting to me. I guess my question becomes, how much do you pay him? You know, you've already got $4.5 million spent on Koskinen. And sure, you know, most GMs would like to have that number they spend on their goalie somewhere around the $7 million mark. So I guess I'm asking you, Bob, who's out there where you can spend that, you know, $3.5 million or $3 million bucks to get you to 7.5? Does a guy like Holtby come that cheap? I don't think Matt Murray comes that cheap. You know, Darcy Kuemper signed at $4.5 million already. So to me, Ken Holland's trying to figure out, do I stretch the goalie number a little and go after a bigger fish, or do I find a halfway goalie, you know, the Jake Allen kind of guy that went to a Montreal, of course, and playing with Koskinen and coming at the number that I like and spend my money elsewhere. Do you think he's willing to stretch his budget on goalie past about 7.5?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, and I mean, it's interesting because Mikko Koskinen at 9.17, like, Mark, I'm going to give you the list of the UFA goalies out there, just the UFA goalies. So Hudobin had a 9.30, okay? Someone's going to pay him. There's no question about that. He's going to, and if you're Dallas right now, you probably got to look at paying him. Robin Lehner's at 9.20. We think there's probably already a pre-existing deal in place with Vegas. Yep. Talbot, Cam Talbot's at 9.19, and Markstrom's at 9.18. So there is four goaltenders that are UFAs that are higher than Mikko Koskinen this past year. Markstrom at 9.18, we think Vancouver's going to sign him. Talbot at 9.19, to me, goes to Calgary unless the Flames trade for Kuemper, and then maybe he's in the mix in Dallas. We think Lehner's going to get a deal with the Golden Knights. And then Hudobin's at 9.30. I mean, you mentioned Braden Holtby. He was a sub-900 save percentage this year, Mark. You know, so... I mean, Thomas Greiss is at 9.13. That might be the type of guy that makes sense. He's had two good years in a row since Mitch Korn has gone, Mark, to the island. But he struggled before Mitch Korn got there. So, I to answer your question, I don't think Ken Holland goes above a combined $7.5 million on the goal. Now, there is one caveat. If he can move a contract out in a trade with a team and get a goalie, we're having a different conversation.
Well, so who's that contract, right? I mean, I don't think, you know, if you took on a big number, and I don't think you've mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury's name yet here either.
Right.
You know, I suggest if Lehner has indeed signed that contract, as everybody suspects, I think Marc-Andre Fleury's moving on, probably to a Carolina or, you know, where. But
what is Carolina's got Toronto's number one this year, okay? And they also have got a second. Carolina Hurricanes have lots of cap space, so I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay, I could see the Carolina Hurricanes. They don't have that much cap space. They have about $73 million, but they got Reimer and Mrazek signed next year. So let's just say theoretically they get in on Kuemper and give up that Maple Leafs number one, that 15th overall pick. Okay.
Okay.
Then they turn around and they need to move out one of Reimer or Mrazek, who've got a year left. What are they willing to give up to, you know, an additional pick, theoretically? Would they do that? I don't know. I if I'm Carolina, I think I'd contemplate it. Calgary Flames are another team that they're not going to, like, Carolina's a team that could trade it. Like, if they get a goalie, they could trade a goalie to Edmonton. I could see that scenario happening. The Vegas scenario is one where they would trade. Would Vegas trade in the division? That's the question I have for you. If I'm Vegas, I'm not sure I'd trade Marc-Andre Fleury to Edmonton.
No, I don't think so. I would say to you that Marc-Andre Fleury, as a veteran goalie who makes $7 million,
yes.
I'm kind of questioning whether or not he fits here. You know, unless you could trade Koskinen back. I'm not sure that you want to have $11.5 million.
No. They would have to eat at least two, or they'd have to take back. And I know people have suggested James Neal. I don't see that deal happening. But there you go, Spec. We got to run. We got Randy Gray coming up to talk about the Edmonton Riverhawks. So we'll get after that after a glow. Mark, thanks again for joining us. You'll join us Friday. So we'll look forward to talking then. All right, Mark, off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell at 1 o'clock.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.